Welcome to the June episode of Palms and Paws. As always, I am your host, Dr. Kevin McEvely, joined by Greta Rose. How are you doing, Greta Rose?
I'm great, thank you, Dr. Kevin. How are you doing? You sound like you're outside of the veterinary center. How's it going there?
I'm outside. I have a short window. I've got an emergency coming in. And so I may have to bolt in a few here, but extremely excited. Last month, we celebrated Pet Mamas. We actually had my mom as a guest on the podcast. And it seems only right that our special guest for the month where we celebrate fathers is my own dad. So we've got my dad here. Hey, Faj, how's it going?
I am so good. I'm so good, Kev. Thank you for inviting me onto the show.
Yeah, look, you heard mom's podcast, so you really have to sound like you're proud of me and you like me a lot, okay?
Too much pressure.
I'm gonna grill you. Are you ready? I'm ready for some really intense questions about this lad that you have.
This little boy, yes.
And for
Yeah.
those who cannot see what I'm looking at, I am looking at both Dr. Kevin and Dr. Mark wearing their scrubs. So, like father, like son for sure.
We might even be doing the same color right now, Pop.
Ah, yes. Well, mine's a little lighter than yours, but it's a new color.
You may have noticed my dad sounds a little funny. It's because he's got one of the most desirable accents in the world, being a South African chap.
Yes, and so just before we started, you were saying that you came over to the side of the pond on in 87.
In 87, I just graduated from dental school. I came out to write my boards and loved it and never went home.
So here's what I want to know. What is it like having a son like Kevin?
Look, it's pretty it's remarkable. I never thought about what my kids were going to be like, and I got lucky with three fabulous kids. But Kevin, I was quite young when I had him, and we've sort of grown up together in a way. I mean, him probably, I think he's grown up more than me in a lot of truth be told. But it's been like fabulous to watch him grow. He's a unique individual, as you know, having spoken to him a lot. He's a caring, loving, like fabulous human, and to have created something like that is I got lucky for sure.
Sorry, I gotta hop in for a sec. I mean, we did grow up in a lot of ways together, and it's not common for people to get to call their dad a best friend. So I think I'm so blessed and grateful, and geez, we've had such fun. Oh my gosh.
There's a story that Dr. Kevin mentioned last time I was speaking to him about you swinging like Tarzan to save and rescue a lizard.
Oh man.
Yeah, I wish that what I did to save lizards for him, never mind. I just.
My dad saved that lizard's life. Okay. There is a river just thundering along, and we just happen to look up the trail and see that this little lizard that's like scurrying along a little branch just plops into the water. And like without even hesitating, dad like somehow swings from a branch hanging over this river, and in one swoop just scoops up this lizard. And I could not believe, I still can't believe it. And then he just gets out like it's no big deal, puts this lizard in my hand, and we like carried it until it warmed up, and then we put it on a nice hot stone, and he just scampered off.
And was that the moment, Kevin, that you decided to become a veterinarian? That would be
Well, I
brilliant.
decided I wasn't going to be a dentist. I'm not sure it wasn't that day, but
It was the James Herriot books that we read. That was what I.
listen, that was a huge. Anybody who hasn't listened to James Herriot or seen the show on PBS or read the original books, he was the OG veterinarian in the British countryside, taking care of dogs, cats, farm animals, wildlife, everything out there. No, not a single lizard, actually. But geez, he was. We read everything he had cover to cover. That was like our nighttime reading, and yeah, that was just always such an inspiration as well.
Okay, so what words of advice would you have for Kevin now?
Well, my same advice that I give him when we're on the phone in the morning, that he needs to have as much fun as he can, because that's what it's all about. Whether you're having fun working, whether you're having fun out of work, whether you're having fun with your wife, whether you're having fun, whatever, because we just don't know how much time there is. So, if you're not the guy with the most fun, that's not the most stuff, and it's not the biggest car and the biggest house. It's the guy who's had the most fun that's gonna, that's the success marker for me, for sure. So I'm all about that. I'm all about experiences. We try to live as an experiential life as we can, and I'm trying to teach him, but he's in the meat of it right now. He's building this huge ongoing endeavor, and so he's right in the middle of all of that. And I do try to make him listen to me a little bit more in terms of that.
So, Kevin, if you had one question to ask your dad at this stage of life for Father's Day, what would you like to ask him?
I already have answers to all the questions. All I want is more time for us to all hang together. I know that sounds silly because we spend so much time together, but man, I love my family so much. And that's one of the greatest joys of my life is getting to spend time with them, share experiences, share stories, laugh. I mean, we laugh. So it is just, that is, I mean, the only question I have for my dad at this moment is, when are we doing dinner next? What can I bring to Shabbat? I'm seeing you Friday, so like that's the only question I've got. But I think it's to me that's a more beautiful thing than having a question or something that I'm really waiting to ask.
So you guys have a very lucky, special relationship that most people don't have with their dads. And so, it's really it's like sweet to witness, and it's a gift to be able to witness a father and a son who are so close. It's kind of a dream, I think, that most fathers have for their sons. A question that I know everyone is dying to know is, who is your favorite child?
You're a terrible person, Greta, honestly. I don't know if
I'm putting you on the spot.
it's definitely Brody.
Brody,
Brody is the fourth child, but the favorite by far. The 100-pound, gorgeous, long-haired German shepherd, that has obsessed all of us. A COVID rescue, just, the child I never had,
Oh,
but
yes.
always wanted.
But
And
always wanted hairy. Well, I have a hairy son. That's pretty true. But just really the most like special. That's a special relationship, honestly.
Yeah, we should have spent more time talking about that. Instead, we're going to segue seamlessly to a very cool conversation that your son, Dr. Kevin, had with Michael Chill, our local trainer extraordinaire. And we asked him about Father's Day, pet dad energy, and training tips for the park. Check it out.
Michael Chill is a now a regular on the podcast. So grateful that you're joining us. And as you know, we're celebrating Father's Month all month long, not just fathers of human children, but pet daddies out there.
Yes.
And I understand that you've got some special tips when it comes to play in dog parks or how dogs are going to interact with one another at the dog park. First of all, are you a fan of dog parks?
The answer is a qualified yes. And the qualification comes from experience. I was a huge advocate of dog parks many years ago, back in the early 80s, before there were any legal dog parks here in Los Angeles. I had my clients fill out the petition because we were really pushing for it. There were terrific opportunities for dogs to socialize, to apply your training skills. And there was a wonderful camaraderie as well. We were successful. They had the first official dog park in Laurel Canyon. And I began to rethink my enthusiasm within the first year or two after the park became very popular and completely fenced. Because I realized that back when they were not sanctioned and not legal, first of all, there were fewer people taking advantage. But more important, since they weren't fenced, it was those of us with very well-trained, very well-behaved dogs who took advantage. We also helped each other. Oh, okay, your dog is mounting too much. That's too dominant. Let's pull him back a little bit. That play is way too rough. So let's calm it down because it just doesn't lead to healthy interaction. We also kept them immaculate because we didn't want any of the other community using the parks and complaining. So there were particular areas where we would congregate, and it was terrific. And that once it became legal and fenced, I began to notice too many people used it as a simply a way of tiring their dogs out. And they would be yelling at their dogs and chasing their dogs to get them to come to go home again. And once again, off-leash play is a privilege allowed for well-trained dogs. It's also a great environment for socializing. But I warn my clients, it's like sending a teenager to a kegger party at a university. Some kids will still be responsible, enjoy, socialize, and make friends, but others may take advantage and party hardy and create other problems. And I see that too frequently at dog parks. People see the dogs playing very roughly, and they don't realize that oftentimes rough play and play fighting can turn into real fighting. It's also not unusual that dogs who used to be calm and relaxed and socialize well and approach calmly when on a leash as approaching another dog, they become overstimulated and start to lunge and get frustrated because those dogs are used to playing unrestrained and unrestricted. So I want my clients to understand that yes, it's a terrific opportunity for socializing and interaction, but much like a cocktail party or a kegger party, you've got to monitor the interaction and make sure it's working well for your dogs as well as for the other dogs at the park.
That's such incredible advice. You are so amazing. I guess the follow-up to that is, do you have some simple tips on how we can have a well-behaved dog at the park?
Yes. First of all, in certain situations, if someone is saying, "I absolutely intend and insist on taking my dog to one of the public parks." First off, I'm not sure if this is true in other parts of the country, but we do have some exclusive dog parks here in Los Angeles. There's one that's a paid membership only, and they require owners to be with their dogs. One of the things that I don't care for in the public arena is that too many dog walkers will take 10, 15, even 20 dogs to a park and just let them loose without the proper supervision. So if you have an exclusive dog park, many of the public parks in Santa Monica, for example, are well monitored. So they don't get away with that quite as easily. I want more people than I would see in some of the dog parks. I want to see, one person for every 3 to 6 dogs so you can monitor the interaction. I also tell people if you have a good recall on your dog, you can take advantage of a dog park because you want to make sure you can call your dog back to you under any circumstances and either have him escape of a situation where too many dogs are packing up and picking on another dog, or you can just settle him down before he goes out and plays again. It's like a timeout during the play. Play can escalate. And like with kids, you don't let them get overstimulated and leave them alone. You give them a timeout, let them calm down, and then go back into that type of play. I also encourage my clients to come up with a specific trigger word that would not be understood by many of the dogs. I see too many people in dog park yelling, "No, no, 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 no." Well, not only is their dog ignoring them, but some of the other dogs they don't even know are responding to this negative sound. And that's also unfair. So I'll say, okay, just let's come up with a word. It doesn't matter what the word is, but it's one word that your dog will recognize as you need to calm down. You need to relax. So you can use quit, stop, red. I had one client who surprised me by saying chill, and that was the word they used to settle their dog down in honor of my suggestion. But whatever
Incredible.
it is, it's got to be something that your dog can recognize and respond well to, even at a distance. I also urge people, please don't bring treats to a dog park. Please don't bring toys and frisbees and balls. Don't give other dogs the incentive to maybe create a guarding tendency or extra competition. Because even if your dog shares well with others, other dogs at the park might not. I also urge people, no unneutered dogs at a dog park over 6 to 8
Huge.
months of age. That has to be mandatory and common sense. And I do realize that there are medical benefits to holding back on altering your dogs, that it's kind of anecdotal, but significant in this time. So I'm sorry, there's going to be a window where you cannot bring your male Labrador, your male German Shepherd, your male Golden Retriever, your male Cavalier King Charles to the dog park. Because even if they're well behaved and are not responding to their hormones, their pheromones will stimulate other dogs and create an adverse reaction.
Absolutely. Such amazing advice. And it's, you're absolutely correct. Most of the dog bites that I see from a dog park involve an intact animal, whether
Yes.
it's a male or a female that is giving off those pheromones. And other dogs are usually the aggressors because they're
Yes.
triggered by that. And
Yes.
so, fantastic advice. I'm glad you touched on the trigger words because I was going to ask you what your favorite was. I was curious if anyone was ever screaming pumpernickel at the dog park or anything crazy. Everything that you're saying boils down to obedience, and it's so huge. I can't emphasize it enough that when an animal is obedient, that is when they earn playtime. That is when they earn the right to go and socialize. And socialization is such a key part of their development.
Yes.
And it's a way to help encourage and foster not only trust between the two of you, but also encourage more opportunities to demonstrate obedience. So everything you touched on resonates. You know, I want to pivot slightly because we are, as I mentioned, celebrating, you know, all the pet daddies out there. Are there differences in how a dog, for example, would respond to a pet mom versus a pet dad? Is there any merit to that?
Yes, there's a lot of merit to that, depending on the dog. First off, as a general rule, and this has been observed in not just dogs, but in other canids, wolves, coyotes, and jackals, there seems to be an innate chauvinism. As you know, my background is wild animals as well as dogs. I had a rescue compound with 40 wolves in it. And even the ones that I raised, who were very well socialized to me and loved the people they met when they were younger, if strangers walked into their enclosures, they would approach the women freely and the men more hesitantly, just because there's that natural hesitation, that natural chauvinism. And that's, again, I believe it's the pheromones, because quite frankly, I would have either some masculine-looking women or some feminine-looking men. The wolves were never fooled. They always approached the women more comfortably and the men just a little carefully before they warmed up and started to sniff. I see that in dogs as well. So you've got A, the natural chauvinism, number one, where if a puppy is not well socialized just by circumstance, single women who adopted a puppy during COVID, these dogs didn't get a lot of socializing generally and didn't get male socializing. And they would observe the fact that absolutely the dogs were more hesitant towards men. So that's number one, what I call the natural canine chauvinism. Secondarily, with our rescue dogs, unfortunately, if there is active abuse in a dog's background, statistics say it's going to be 75 to 95% a man who did the abusing. Unfortunately, our gender is prone to that due to our hormone levels, probably, but whatever the reason, it's just a fact. So, in those circumstances, if people adopt a dog as a couple, the man shouldn't feel badly or guilty if the dog seems to be warming up to the woman, and the woman can make certain gestures or certain movements that doesn't trigger the dog, and yet the man simply putting his coat on and lifting an arm, the dog backs away, in careful. Most of us or I should say, all of us with proper time and patience can bring a dog even through that past abuse trauma. But of course, it takes longer than a dog who's simply not exposed to men at an early age, therefore has to learn and get comfortable over a shorter span of time.
Fantastic. Michael, thank you so much for your time. I want to highlight something very cool here. In addition to doing live training with groups of people who have newly adopted a dog or newly acquired a puppy, as well as one-on-ones with clients, you've also produced a little bit of material for new puppy owners. Is this a little puppy masterclass in booklet form?
It's just a booklet called Puppy Book, and it just goes over the basics. A lot of people, when they get their first puppy, they're kind of lost. They just don't know what to do. And even if they're going to be hiring a professional to help them with that, they shouldn't wait the 3 to 5 days or the week without understanding just the simple basics. So it's an easy outline. It's something that people can access, and it's just a way to get them started. It goes over house training. Goes over teething and chewing, it goes over jumping, it goes over barking, and just the active handling that's important to orient any puppy to a new home.
Incredible. And what does this cost? $100,
It's
$200?
free. It's absolutely free.
You're awesome. Look, Michael, thank you so much for your time. If people want to find you and seek this puppy book or your training expertise here in Los Angeles, where's the best place to find you?
My website is asdogtraining.com. My company is Animal Services, and I'm listed in the phone book. And my name, Michael Chill, is also listed under my business profile.
Thank you so much. Thank you for the
Thank you.
guidance. And Michael, thanks for making this easy. You are so incredible. And I really appreciate you sharing your knowledge with our community because these little things that are for you, as simple as tying your shoes, they are so groundbreaking for so many first-time pet parents out there. So I really appreciate your time.
And I thank you for letting me participate. I'm just so impressed. And it's fun for me, watching this evolve into much more than any regular veterinary hospital. And I'm really, really impressed.
The best is yet to come. Thank you so much, Mike.
Okay, so once again, I could listen to Michael Chill all day long. He has this beautiful way of gently guiding us to be better pet parents, without making us feel like we've made a mistake. And like any parent, of course, we've made mistakes. It's part of learning how to do this thing. But he just is loving and kind and also very clear, like very clear as to how to be a better pet parent. So I so appreciate him being on the show every single time we can get him. And then this beautiful puppy book. If you are lucky enough to be a local, then you can stop by the front desk of Palms and Paws Veterinary Center and get a physical copy. Lucky, lucky you. And for everyone else, we will make sure that you can get a digital copy on the full episode here on palmspaws.com so that everyone around the world can also get their hands on it. And with that, I'm just going to segue back to you, Dr. Kevin. Take us out with your pops.
Pop, can't thank you enough for joining us for this special edition, the Father's Day podcast. We're celebrating you, all the other fathers out there, and especially the pet daddies out there that just love their dogs, cats, and their furry family members. I love
Sometimes
you.
more than they're humans.
Yeah, we don't want to open up any old wounds here. Look, we love this community. We're so grateful that you've decided to tag along with us. Stay tuned. We've got exciting material for you next month. As always, the best is yet to come. Greta Rose, any final words?
I just am very, now we've had time with your mom and your dad, and like, what a special, beautiful family. Thank you for sharing it with all of us.
They're the best. It's my pleasure. Pop, love you, man. I'll see you at
Oh,
dinner.
I love you too. Proud of you. And see you Father's Day.